McGraw in the Morning continues on the Big 550 KTRS.
Our next guest has got a tear in his eye, and I know he's got some goosebumps on his forearms. He's David Stokes. He's a Show Me Institute policy analyst and a friend of the show. David Stokes, good morning this morning.
Good morning, McGraw.
Normally we sit and talk to you about different ideas and political philosophies and taxes and all those types of things, but today is a very special day for you, and we appreciate the fact that you're stopping off here, next stop, the Capitol in Jefferson City.
This is very conveniently right on the way.
Now, you in your private life happen to be a delegate, correct? Explain what you're doing today.
Well, I'm a member of the Electoral College.
You're a member of the Electoral College. All right, now let's step back. How did you become a member of the Electoral College?
Hereditary birthright.
All right.
I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for admitting this, but you're actually sort of born into it and to pass down through family. This whole democracy thing is really just a sham.
Starting from the beginning, come on, tell us how did this happen?
I was selected in a Republican Party caucus back in April.
Okay. Now, was this the caucus that we had here in the state? Or was it a different caucus?
It was the second round of that.
The second round of that.
Where the presidential caucus that we had selecting primary delegates for the Republican presidential nomination.
Gotcha.
That was in March.
Okay.
And in April, the people selected at the March caucus got together at the congressional level. So there were eight different caucuses in Missouri.
All right.
And in each of those, you picked people to go on to the national convention in Tampa.
Okay.
And one of the other things you did at that caucus was pick one person from each congressional district to be a Republican elector. Now, the Democrats would have had a similar process to pick their electors as well.
Okay. So were you a delegate at the convention?
I was not a delegate at the national convention in Tampa. I was a delegate picked at the March and then the April to go to the April caucuses.
Okay.
And in April, I decided to run for the elector spot and won against a friend of mine in a very close race.
What was your platform?
My platform was, I will vote for Mitt Romney.
So you voted, you pledged your allegiance to Mitt Romney, and that's what got you elected.
Yeah, and I don't recall actually getting up and stating that. It was just understood in no uncertain terms. And I think the person I ran against would have done the same.
Gotcha.
Now, he was from the Ron Paul contingent of the GOP.
Right.
But I think he would have also voted for Romney in the end, or today,
right,
if he was in this situation. Because I only beat him by, I think, one vote.
Oh, really? It was a barn burner. Okay. So so now you're going to go – today's the day. Is today the day for every state or just for Missouri?
For every state.
So all across the country today, state houses are going to go and you're going to vote. In Missouri, since the popular vote went to Mitt Romney, has been certified, the delegates from the Romney campaign or the Republican delegates get to go and vote.
Right.
Okay. If the Democrats would have won the state or President Obama would have won the state, you wouldn't go today and your Democratic counterpart would go today.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, there's no law, there's no rule, you can go today and vote for anybody you want.
I can. Now, I was doing some research on this for you because I know you're interested in it. There's no national law. Some states do have a law that electors are bound to the person that they've pledged to vote for.
Okay.
And so if you wrote in somebody else, you might be violating a state law. I don't believe Missouri has such a law. Almost half the states do, a little less than half. And I would have to imagine those penalties are very light.
Right.
So, but I don't think Missouri has it. I could be wrong. It's not something that happens a whole lot. It's happened about 150 times in American history where an elector went to this process and did not vote for the person they were bound for. And I understand about half of those were some cases back in the 1800s where a candidate died between the vote and the electoral vote. That never happened with a victorious presidential candidate, but I think some losing candidates
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Died in the meantime. So in about half the cases, it was very understandable that they would have cast a vote for somebody else.
I know there were relatively recently, in, I think you want to say in Tennessee or North Carolina, there was somebody who voted for John Anderson back in 1980. I think there was one or two electors who voted for John Anderson.
Oh, yeah, there's always one.
There's always one. You said there's eight congressional districts, but Missouri has 10 electoral votes.
Then there were, after that congressional caucus level, at the state party convention the next month, two statewide delegates were selected.
So a total of 10 people are going down today to vote.
Right, and three of those people are from St. Louis County.
Okay. Now, is there a ballot? Do you just raise your right hand? Is it a yay or nay vote? How does it work?
I think you're going to have to vote out loud, but you also have to sign a series of documents. And I think I'll vote about six times, with six original copies going to different places. One to the United States Senate, which in early January it'll officially be opened and read by the president of the Senate, which is the vice president. And that's when it's sort of, they confirm the official count becomes the ultra-official count at that point.
Right.
The National Archives gets a copy. The State Secretary of State gets a copy. The federal district court of each capital gets a copy in case there's a later dispute. The judges have an official copy, and a few others. So I'll be signing, I think, six documents.
Why did they come up with this idea originally?
That's a great question for a colonial American historian.
For somebody else,
I aspire to be one. I believe it is closely related to the fact that the founders didn't want a direct democracy. They wanted a representative republic.
Right.
And they thought that, and they also wanted to preserve the power of the states. So whereas a compact of states and a representative republic, when you were voting for a slate of people who would then go and pick the president. And I think back in the late 1700s, 1800s, it was more, you knew who the elector was that you were picking to then go and vote for the president. And now everybody just, the name of the president or the two candidates are on the ballot, and that's all you think about.
Right.
But I think you go back a few hundred years, the electors you were choosing were a larger part of the process, related to how state legislators used to pick United States senators, and that wasn't done by direct vote either.
Now, so when we voted on Election Day, we actually were voting for you or your Democratic counterpart to go to Jefferson City today to vote for who you pledged to vote for president.
Right, but thankfully they used the shorthand of just putting the two candidates on the ballot. Incredibly confusing.
Now, you're pretty excited about this, aren't you?
Well, it's going to be a great honor to actually cast a real vote for president of the United States. I mean, I am excited. Win or lose, and unless some earth-shaking mind changes come into play here, Mitt Romney's going to lose, but it's still incredibly exciting.
Now you are going to vote for Romney. Would there be any scenario in which you wouldn't vote for the person you were elected to vote for?
I would guess. I mean, theoretically, if the person selected to vote for died in the meantime, right, which has certainly happened, or if the person selected to vote for committed some awful crime between the vote and the Electoral College vote, I guess I would reconsider.
Right.
But I mean, you were talking about extreme.
But anything short of that, you will uphold your word, because as we said earlier, there's no law here in Missouri. You're free to vote for anybody you want to.
I would be free, and it would be fun to write myself in and to write you in, but nobody would ever trust me again.
Yeah,
anything.
Is your family going down? Are you taking pictures? How is this working?
Yes, and yes. My kids and my wife are at the Westport Bread Co. right now, supporting Westport.
Yes,
we thought it would not be a good idea to bring three small children into your studio.
We like little there are kids running out of the studio every day. What's three more?
So we are. We're going to get some pictures and bring the kids out of school today. It's going to be fun.
Are you going to be on the floor of the House or the Senate? I mean, are you going to be in a back room? Where is this going to take place?
It takes place in the Senate lounge on the third floor of the Capitol. And I believe that's where they hold a lot of committee important hearings and the like. And I believe that it's the beautiful room in the Capitol with the enormous Thomas Hart Benton mural.
Sure, yeah.
I believe that's the Senate lounge, so I'm excited to have it there. And because that's such a if you haven't been to the state capitol, you need to go. It is a magnificent building. And the Thomas Hart Benton mural and the other paintings that they have there are truly amazing.
Have you ever spoken with Governor Romney at all about this or anything about this?
I have never spoken with Governor Romney.
Never. So you're going to vote for him for president, and you're one of the – how many electoral members did he win? Do we know? Do we have that number straight ahead? I bet you I could find that here pretty quick.
I should know that. He has a little over 200, and – I think President Obama had a little over 300.
He is President Obama had 332, I want to say, President Obama did.
So Mitt would have 206, I think.
So 206. Very good. So you're one of the 206 people today across the country who are going to cast their vote for Mitt Romney.
Right.
It's a pretty neat deal. And we don't get, you know, it's one of those things you know about, but you don't really know. But thanks for filling us in, because it is, I tell you what, it's just in terms of politics and in terms of being an American, it's a pretty neat deal to be the one of the 435 who are going to cast the vote.
It's a great deal. It's going to be a great honor. And I admit, before I was picked, I barely knew any more about the Electoral College than anybody else did.
Right.
A lot of, it's like when I got U2 tickets back in high school, and I was like, all right, I guess I got to go buy some albums of theirs. see what they sing.
Don't ever say you didn't know anything about U2. That is really not good.
I was pretty young at the time.
All right, fair enough. David Stokes, ladies and gentlemen, one of the electors who's going down to Jefferson City. And it's part of the democratic process, and he's here to tell us all about it. David Stokes, safe travels down to the state capitol, and enjoy the day.
Thank you, McGraw.
You got it. 8:50. We'll talk a little Mizzou hoops next on KTRS.